I'll talk more about translations in just a moment, but I thought we'd just look up some translations here of these passages. First, let's look at the New Revised Version that she uses. And let's look at 1 Corinthians 14, 34, and 35 and see what it says. Now, I don't know what it says. This will be the first time for me to find out. I wonder if it'll surprise me. It says, women should be silent in the churches, for that they are not permitted to speak, but should be subordinate, as the law says. Then it goes on to say, for it is shameful for women to speak in the church. It doesn't sound like that translation helps your position any, Marge. Now, in 1 Timothy chapter 2, 11 and 12, see what it says there. It says, let a woman learn in silence with full submission. I permit no woman to teach or to have authority over a man. She is to keep silent. Now, that's a newer translation. Here's another newer translation, the American Standard Version. She mentioned that it's just the Old Testament. Thanks a lot, Alex. She mentioned, well, when we did the King James Version, which is the one I'm using, there's been a lot of archaeological discoveries and manuscript discoveries since then. And so these two translations were done in modern times after all these discoveries. 1 Corinthians 14, 34 and 35, let the women keep silence in the churches, for it is not permitted to them to speak. But let them be in subjection, as also says the law, and if they will learn anything, let them ask their own husbands at home, for it's a shame for women to speak in the church. 1 Timothy 2, 11 and 12, let a woman learn in quietness with all subjection, but I permit not a woman to teach nor have dominion over a man, but to be in quietness. And so, it doesn't seem to help the position that it's okay to be a woman preacher by going to the newer translations. It seems like the newer translations also condemn it. As a matter of fact, all the standard translations say the same thing in essence in those two verses. Marge mentioned that 1 Timothy 2.12 is not in the oldest manuscripts. Marge, I think you're mistaken about that. Now, there are passages like Acts 8.37, a portion of John 8, a portion of Mark 16, 1 John 5.7, that are not in some of the oldest manuscripts. But as far as I know, 1 Corinthians 14, 34, and 35, and 1 Timothy 2, 11, and 12, read all these manuscripts, all of them, older, oldest, and newer. If those passages, those texts are not questioned, like 1 John 5, 7, Acts 8, 37. They're in there in all the manuscripts. Those two passages are in there. If you know otherwise, let me know. You tell me, you name a manuscript that those two passages are not in. Name one. I'm not aware of any manuscript that leaves those two out. Nobody questions those two verses. Here's the thing about the translations. Marge mentions the translations. First of all, she tells her members, recommendation, don't buy a translation that condemns you. Well, Marge, that's what we're talking about here. That seems like what you're saying is let's fit God's words what we want to practice. That's what it seems like you're saying, but I'll let you defend yourself. I don't want to put words in your mouth, but it seems like you're saying, let's decide what we want to practice, what we want to do. Like, have women preachers or homosexuality, as we discussed tomorrow night. And then let's try to find us a Bible that'll say that's okay. Instead of, what we really should do is let's try to find a translation that accurately translates the Greek text. And if it says what we're doing was wrong, then let's cease that practice. That's what we all do. Now, people, don't think that this translation thing is that really a big a deal. Because, you know, we have Bible helps here. And, you know, you can actually, and I have the text here in a book here, I have the interlinear here, where we can actually look at the Greek. We don't have to look at the English, we can look at the Greek. Now, I don't know Greek, but if you don't know Greek, you can find out what is an accurate translation. Here's how you do that. And this is a slow way. If I knew Greek, it wouldn't take me near this long. But without knowing the Greek, I can look at the Greek text, and then I can take a Greek dictionary, and I can look up each individual Greek word and find out the definition for that word. Now, it may take me 30 minutes or an hour to find out exactly what the Greek says in 1 Corinthians 14, 34, and 35. And in 1 Timothy 2, 11 as well, because I'd have to look at every word and look up in a Bible dictionary, something that defines all the Greek words. It may take me 30 minutes to an hour. But when I get through, I'll know what the Greek says. I won't have to depend upon any translation. I won't have to depend upon the King James, the American Standard, or the New Revised Version. Well, we have a Greek text. We can look at it and we can look up the definitions for those words. Now, Marge said a couple of statements I want to address at the beginning of her speech. She said about 1 Corinthians 14, for example, 1 Timothy 2. That's Paul speaking, not Jesus speaking. And then she said, the Bible contains the Word of God, not the Bible is the Word of God. Well, let's address that. Basically, what she's saying is that since Paul said it's wrong for women to be preachers, but Jesus did not say that, therefore we don't have to accept what Paul says. But the implication is that she does accept what Jesus says. Okay? Let's start from that, Marge. Let's start from the fact that you agree with me that we should accept what Jesus says. Now, when Jesus was still on this earth, he said what we read in John 16:13. He said, and he's talking about himself going away, and he said, after I go away, I'll send you a comforter, which is the Holy Spirit. We're all familiar with that. He says in 16:13 of John, albeit when he, the Spirit of truth, has come, he will guide you in all the truth. For he shall not speak of himself, but whatsoever he shall hear, that shall he speak, and he will show you things to come. That's just saying the whole God would tell the Holy Spirit what to tell the apostles. The ones that revealed the Bible, after Jesus left, he said the comforter would come and he would guide them to all the truth. Now, if we believe what Jesus said, and you implied that you did, that you would believe that Jesus said it, Jesus is in effect saying the writers of the Bible that come along later, like Paul, are going to be inspired by the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit will find out from myself and the Father, in effect, what he's to tell these men to say. And all three members of the Godhead would be agreed on what to say. And the Holy Spirit would tell Paul and Peter and John and other writers of the Bible what to say. He would guide them in all the truth. So if you believe what Jesus said that what Paul said is what he told him to say, what the Holy Spirit told him to say. Another case of that is John 14:26. He says, but the Comforter, which is the Holy Ghost, whom the Father will send in my name, he shall teach you all things and bring all things to your remembrance whatsoever I have said of you. You see, they're not just saying their own word. What Jesus is saying, this is Jesus, and he's saying what they say later, that's going to be from us, the members of the Godhead. The Holy Spirit is going to tell them what to say. He's going to guide them, and that includes Paul, into all the truth. Now, didn't we read over 1 Corinthians chapter 2, verse 13, where Paul said, what I'm saying is not just my own words, my own opinion. He says in chapter 2, verse 13, I wish we could read the whole context. He says, which things also we speak, not in the words which man's wisdom teacheth, but which the Holy Ghost teacheth. Comparing spiritual things with spiritual. Mars, do you accept something that the Holy Ghost said? Well, Paul said that the Holy Ghost was telling him the words to say. Now you could...
Have you ever heard the comment that sometimes the Holy Ghost stopped speaking and Paul went on?
What evidence do you have to say that that's true, that Paul went on?
I believe that Paul was bound by the conventions of his culture.
In 1 Corinthians 14, verse 37, the Bible says, if any man think himself to be a prophet or spiritual, let him acknowledge that the things that I write to you are the commandments of the Lord. So when Paul wrote the instruction that women are to keep silence in the church, two or three verses later, he says, this is not just me saying this, this is a commandment of the Lord. Now, everybody turn to 2 Peter chapter 3, and let's address something that Mark said. In 2 Peter 3, we have Peter talking, of course, and he's talking about our beloved brother Paul in verse 15. He says, also, beloved brother Paul, also according to the wisdom given unto him, hath written unto you, and also in all his epistles, speaking in them of these things, in which are some things hard to be understood. That'd be talking about Romans, hard to be understood, which they that are unlearned and unstable rest, as they do also the other scriptures unto their own destruction. He's saying, Paul wrote some things hard to be understood. We'll say the book of Romans. That would, of course, imply that some things he wrote aren't hard to be understood, like 1 Corinthians 14. That's easy. He says, people will try to rest what Paul said as they do the other scriptures, which implies that what Paul wrote were scriptures. Now that's what Jesus said in John 16:13, that Paul and the other apostles would be guided into all the truth by the Holy Spirit. That's what Paul said in 1 Corinthians 2:13. He's guided by the Holy Spirit. So what's said in John 14:26? And Jesus said that. And Peter says here that what Paul wrote were scriptures. Now either we're going to believe what God says about this, and that requires love on our part, love of God, or we're not going to believe what God says about this. Martha brings up a good argument. And I appreciate the friendly demeanor that she uses in doing so. Good argument from 1 Corinthians 11, 2 through 16, where it says women prophesied. She says, well, they're prophesying right there in the church. How would you deal with that, Pat? Well, the thing is, Marge, is 1 Corinthians 11, 2 through 16 is not dealing with the church assembly. It doesn't say anything about the church assembly. 1 Corinthians 11, 2 through 16 is just saying that a woman ought to be covered when she prays. That would be whenever or wherever she prays. Does she pray in the church assembly? Yes, she prays silently as the man leads her. Does she pray at home? Maybe around the table before she eats. Yes. Whenever she prays, she ought to wear that covering. 1 Corinthians 11, 2 through 16 doesn't say anything about the church assembly. Doesn't say anything about that. One way I know that, besides the fact that it doesn't mention it, is Paul were saying in chapter 11 that a woman prophesied in the church assembly, then that would contradict what he wrote only three chapters later, which says she's not to speak in the church assembly. But 1 Corinthians 11 doesn't say anything about the church assembly. Maybe you still see that as a contradiction in some way. Here it says the woman's not to speak in the church, yet 1 Corinthians 11 it says she's to prophesy. There's no contradiction. I have a son, Pete, 13 years old. I have four children, by the way. If I tell say we're going to McDonald's, and he's in trouble, and I say, because he's being punished, well, we're in McDonald's, I don't want you to say a word. Okay? And he goes to McDonald's, we're there for an hour, and he doesn't say a word, and we get home. Does that mean he can't speak at home if I tell him he can't speak at McDonald's? No. So there's no contradiction there. If the Bible says a woman's not to speak in the church, in another place it says she is to teach the Bible, to prophesy. There's no contradiction there. That just means she is to teach the Bible or prophesy, but not in the church. Just like Keith can talk, but just not in McDonald's. Now when we go to church, we tell our children not to talk in church. I suppose all parents do that. That doesn't mean when they're on the ball field somewhere playing kickball or baseball they can't talk. That means in the church they're not to talk. There's no contradiction in saying you can't talk at church and saying you can talk at the ball field. That's two different places. There's no contradiction. There's no contradiction in the Bible when it says the older women are to teach the younger women. And another place it says she's not to teach in the church. No contradiction. It just means they're to teach the younger women when they're not in church. That's pretty simple, I think. Marge said, I don't have the exact quote, I'm just quoting the best I can. She said she doesn't take the Bible literally, but seriously. I think we all need to look at and seriously ponder 2 Timothy 3, 16 and 17. Basically, she's saying she doesn't really take the Bible as her authority for what she does.
That's not true.
Okay. That's not true. Then I'll just go back to what I said before. Let's look at 2 Timothy 3, 16 and 17. She does take the Bible as authority for what she does. That's good. Now let's see. All Scripture is given by inspiration of God. All Scripture. It doesn't just contain the Word of God. It is the Word of God because it says all Scripture, Marge, is given by inspiration of God. Not just parts of it, the parts you may agree with, the parts that don't condemn you. It's not just those parts that are the Word of God. It's all Scripture is given by inspiration of God. It is profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, for instruction in righteousness. The man of God may be perfect, thoroughly furnished unto all good works. I'm glad you do take it seriously. I pray that you will take it seriously enough to realize that all Scripture is inspired and that the purpose for Scripture is to give us our doctrine and to reprove us, to correct us, to give us instruction in righteousness. So our doctrine would be, for example, whether or not women can be preachers or whether or not homosexuality is condemned or condoned, as we're going to talk about tomorrow night. Our doctrine should be taken from the Scriptures and the Scriptures alone.
1 minute.
1 Timothy 2, 11 and 12. I really cannot say any plainer than this. Let the woman learn in silence with all subjection, but I suffer not a woman to teach nor usurp authority over the man. That passage keeps ringing true. No matter what you do, no matter what I say or what she said, Marge says in this debate, just go home and read that text for yourself. Read this text for yourself and decide for yourself. 1 Corinthians 14, 34 and 35. Let your women keep silence in the churches, for it is not permitted unto them to speak, but they are commanded to be under obedience, as also saith the law. And if they will learn anything, Let them ask their husbands at home, for it's a shame for women to speak in the church. Now, Marge says it's not a shame for women to speak in the church. I say it is a shame for women to speak in the church. Again, I ask, which one do you think God would choose after reading this passage? How could he have made it any clearer? Anybody, I challenge anybody, tell me how God could have said it any clearer than that. Thank you very much. I think we're going to take the...